Divine Office. From ancient times, the Church has had the custom of celebrating each day the Liturgy of the Hours. In this way, the Church fulfills the Lord's precept to pray without ceasing, at once offering praise to God the Father and interceding for the salvation of the world. Saturday, Office of Readings. God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen.
The Lord summons heaven and earth to witness his judgment on his people.
The Lord summons heaven and earth to witness his judgment on his people.
The God of gods, the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion's perfect beauty, he shines.
Our God comes. He keeps silence no longer. Before him, fire devours. Around him, tempest rages. He calls on the heavens and the earth to witness his judgment of his people.
Summon before me my people, who made covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens proclaim his justice, for God himself is the judge.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord summons heaven and earth to witness his judgment on his people.
Come to me in your distress, and I will save you.
Come to me in your distress, and I will save you.
Listen, my people, I will speak. Israel, I will testify against you, for I am God, your God. I accuse you, lay the charge before you.
I find no fault with your sacrifices. Your offerings are always before me. I do not ask more bullocks from your farms, nor goats from among your herds.
For I own all the beasts of the forest, beasts in their thousands on my hills. I know all the birds in the sky, all that moves in the field belongs to me.
Were I hungry, I would not tell you, for I own the world and all it holds. Do you think I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?
Pay your sacrifice of thanksgiving to God and render him your votive offerings. Call on me in the day of distress. I will free you, and you shall honor me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Come to me in your distress, and I will save you.
A sacrifice of praise will give me glory.
A sacrifice of praise will give me glory.
But God says to the wicked, but how can you recite my commandments and take my covenant on your lips, you who despise my law and throw my words to the winds?
You who see a thief and go with him, who throw in your lot with adulterers, who unbridle your mouth for evil, and whose tongue is plotting crime.
You who sit and malign your brother and slander your own mother's son, you do this, and should I keep silence? Do you think that I am like you?
Mark this, you who never think of God, lest I seize you and you cannot escape. A sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and I will show God's salvation to the upright. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Father, because Jesus, your servant, became obedient even unto death, his sacrifice was greater than all holocausts of old. Accept the sacrifice of praise we offer you through him, and may we show the effects of it in our lives by striving to do your will until our whole life becomes adoration in spirit and truth.
A sacrifice of praise will give you glory.
We are always praying earnestly for you,
that you may have a deep knowledge of God's will.
From the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, what is the meaning of this proverb that you recite in the land of Israel? Fathers have eaten green grapes, thus their children's teeth are on edge. As I live, says the Lord, I swear there are no longer to be anyone among you who will repeat this proverb in Israel. For all lives are mine. The life of the Father is like the life of the Son. Both are mine. Only the one who sins shall die. If a man is virtuous, if he does what is right and just, if he does not eat on the mountains nor raise his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, if he does not defile his neighbor's wife nor have relations with a woman in her menstrual period, if he oppresses no one, gives back the pledge received for a debt, commits no robbery, if he gives food to the hungry and clothes the naked, if he does not lend at interest nor exact usury, if he holds off from evil doing, judges fairly between a man and his opponent, if he lives by my statutes and is careful to observe my ordinances, that man is virtuous. He shall surely live, says the Lord God. But if he begets a son who is a thief, a murderer, or who does any of these things, though the father does none of them, a son who eats on the mountains, defiles the wife of his neighbor, oppresses the poor and needy, commits robbery, does not give back a pledge, raises his eyes to idols, does abominable things, lends at interest and exacts usury, this son shall certainly shall not live. But because he practiced all these abominations, he shall surely die. His death shall be his own fault. Only the one who sins shall die. The son shall not be charged with the guilt of his father, nor shall the Father be charged with the guilt of his Son. The virtuous man's virtue shall be his own, as the wicked man's wickedness shall be his. But if the wicked man turns away from all the sins he committed, if he keeps all my statutes and does what is right and just, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the crimes he committed shall be remembered against him. He shall live because of the virtue he has practiced. Do I indeed derive any pleasure from the death of the wicked, says the Lord God? Do I not rather rejoice when he turns from his evil way, that he may live? And if the virtuous man turns from the path of virtue to do evil, the same kind of abominable things that the wicked man does, can he do this and still live? None of his virtuous deeds shall be remembered, because he has broken faith and committed sin, and because of this, he shall die. You say, the Lord's way is not fair. Hear now, house of Israel. Is it my way that is unfair? Or rather, are not your ways unfair? When a virtuous man turns away from virtue to commit iniquity and dies, it is because of the iniquity he committed that he must die. But if a wicked man, turning from the wickedness he has committed, does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life, since he has turned away from all the sins which he committed. He shall surely live, he shall not die. And yet the house of Israel says, the Lord's way is not fair. Is it that my way that is not fair, house of Israel? Or rather, is it not that your ways are not fair? Therefore, I will judge you, house of Israel, each one according to his ways, says the Lord God. Turn and be converted from all your crimes, that they be no more cause of your guilt for you. Cast away from you all the crimes you have committed, and make for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, says the Lord God. Return and live. The word of the Lord. Never again shall they say, the fathers ate unripe grapes, the children's teeth are set on edge.
Only the soul that sins shall die.
I will judge each person according to his own deeds. The Son shall not suffer for the sins of the Father, nor the Father for the sins of his Son.
Only the soul that sins shall die.
A reading from a sermon on pastors by St. Augustine, Bishop. Scripture says, God chastises every son whom he acknowledges. But the bad shepherd says, perhaps I will be exempt. If he is exempt from the suffering of his chastisements, then he is not numbered among God's sons. You will say, does God indeed punish every son? Yes, every one, just as he chastised his only son. His only son, born of the substance of the Father, equal to the Father in the form of God, the Word through whom all things were made, he could not be chastised. For this reason, he was clothed with flesh, so that he might know chastisement. God punishes his only Son, who is without sin. Does he then leave unpunished an adopted son who is with sin? The apostle says that we have been called to adoption. We have been adopted as sons, that we might be co-heirs with the only Son, and that we might be his inheritance. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. Christ gave us the example by his own sufferings. But clearly, one who is weak must neither be deceived with false hope, nor broken by fear. Otherwise he will fail when temptations come. Say to him, prepare your soul for temptation. Perhaps he is starting to falter, to tremble with fear. Perhaps he is unwilling to approach. You have another passage of Scripture for him. God is faithful. He does not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength. Make that promise while preaching about the sufferings to come, and you will strengthen the man who is weak. When someone is held back because of excessive fear, promise him God's mercy. It is not that temptations will be lacking, but that God will not permit anyone to be tempted beyond what he can bear. In this manner, you will be binding up the broken one. When they hear of the trials that are coming, some men arm themselves more, and so to speak, are eager to drain the cup. The ordinary medicine of the faithful seems to them but a small thing. For their part, they seek the glorious death of the martyrs. Others hear of the temptations to come, and when they do arrive, as arrive they must, they become broken and lame. Yet it is right that such things befall the Christian, and no one esteems them except the one who desires to be a Christian. Offer the bandage of consolation. Bind up what has been broken, and say this, do not be afraid. God in whom you have believed does not abandon you to temptations. God is faithful. He does not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength. It is not I who say this, but the apostle. And he says further, are you willing to accept his trial, the trial of Christ who speaks in me? When you hear this, you are hearing it from Christ himself. You are hearing it from the shepherd who gives pasture to Israel. For of him it was said, you will give us tears to drink in measure. The apostle says, he does not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength. This is also what the prophet intends by adding the words, in measure. God rebukes, but also encourages. He brings fear, and he brings consolation. He strikes, and he heals. Do not reject him.
For your sake, O Lord, we are being put to death all day long, and we are being treated like sheep for the slaughter.
But despite all this, we have become victorious because of him who loved us.
You have handed us over like sheep to be slaughtered, and you have scattered us among the nations.
But despite all this, we have become victorious because of him who loved us.
Let us pray. Look upon us, O God, creator and ruler of all things, and that we may feel the work of your mercy, grant that we may serve you with all our heart. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.